It's over! And the Leafs have won it! Morgan Rielly is the Game 3 hero tonight!
Welcome back to the Leafs cast.
Goals!
Four goals. I told you guys, well, I said the Leafs scored at least three, said they better score four, and they scored four. The Toronto Maple Leafs defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-3 in overtime in Tampa, God's country, in front of God. Kyle Dubas, Bettman was in the building. Everybody saw it. Let's go.
Man, that, I don't know. The first game was just like, it was out of reach right away, and it was just done. The second game, it was, you know, the other way, it was out of reach. Like, it was just in the bag early on. This game was so stressful and so close the entire game. Like, I feel like my entire chest just hurt. It was in physical pain by the end of the game because I was holding my breath and clenching my whole body. Oh, it was just so fun and stressful. Like,
my heart rate didn't go below 120 for the last half of the game.
Tim, you're in rough shape. That voice is sounding worse and worse and worse.
Well, what happened is, like, the third pair was going on and on and on. We weren't scoring. It was very stressful. And then Ryan O'Reilly makes everything that's ever happened worth it, and he ties it up. We lose our minds. And then we have the most stressful overtime where Leafs don't move their feet for 19 minutes.
I know.
And then we pull it off. We win the game that we never win. How many overtimes have we seen where we deserve to win and we never do? We were on the other side of that today. We did not deserve to win this game, I don't think.
On balance, you would say, I guess I don't fully disagree with you. I think this game was super different than any of the other ones, right? I even heard on the broadcast, there hasn't been a series with as many goals scored in the first two games of a playoff series since 2012. So I mean, like, it's just a bit of a bizarre series altogether, but where, I don't know, I think a lot of people maybe predicted that it was just going to be like a 2-1 or just like super low scoring. I mean, 4-3 is still, like, I don't know, I guess not that high scoring, but it was just like, it was a lot tighter of a game. And it was, it almost felt like a totally different sport for that second period where the refs basically just put the whistles away. Or was that, I guess, most of the second period, the first like 15 minutes of the second period.
Certainly the third period and overtime, there were so many just missed calls, like, on both sides. Like,
I mean,
I guess it was fair.
Yeah, I don't even like know what to say. We can talk about a couple of the penalties. I don't even know what to say at this point about like the officiating, and like it's bad to the point where it's negatively affected both teams at this point. And like, I think the frustration's on everybody and just fans even watching.
To me, I don't have too much of a beef with the whistles going away for basically half the game, all of overtime, all of the third period, and most of the second. There were ridiculous non-calls against, I guess not against, both the Leafs and Tampa. Like, everything was being let go. I don't have too much of an issue with it because it held for the rest of the game. If they ended up calling something in overtime and that's what dictated the game, then, you know, whichever fan base that was called against would have every right to just be livid at that. That you let X, Y, and Z go, but you call that? But nothing was called. It was all 5-on-5 the whole way through, and we ended up winning the game 5-on-5. So I don't think either team has any right to complain because both teams got, you know, wild things just not called, and it is what it is.
Do you want to, I mean, talking about things that teams are going to complain about, spicy hit from Morgan Rielly on Braden Point mid-game that started lots of tempers flaring. You go back and watch the replay. We're going to sound like a Leaf fan here. It wasn't a dirty hit. Braden Point put himself in an awkward position, went into the boards, whatever. I think it looked like he got the wind knocked out of him. Also, like, it made it look like he was having a heart attack on the ice. So Kucherov lost it.
Oh my gosh. But I was livid. I was so livid. I was yelling at everyone in my house. I was yelling at my children in my house about
these are the Tampa Stars, and they're as dirty as the rest of them.
Well, it's like at first, right, the play happens, you're immediately like, oh gosh, this is bad. Morgan Rielly just did something really bad. And you watch that replay back, and you as the player have the responsibility to not put yourself in a situation where, you know, a fly lands on your back. You're going to fall awkwardly into the boards face first. You don't skate face first, you know, leaning or skate full speed, leaning forward with your face, you know, a foot in front of any other part of your body. And it's not just a situation where, even though hockey's less physical than it was in the past, where just like nobody gets to touch you and you get to get the puck for free. This is a playoff game. And Morgan Rielly, who, yeah, he gave him a bump. It wasn't like an egregious, you know, shove, like, brute, like, and he goes into the boards. And is he hurt? I don't know. He didn't look great when he came back into the game later, but he looked pretty good in overtime. I wouldn't put it past anybody to be trying to sell something. And I'm so glad that the refs came back and took the 5-minute major off the board, because it shouldn't have been there in the first place. But I think we're just damaged as like Leafs fans that I just didn't expect it. I would have expected everybody to be in agreement. Like, yeah, that's really not a call, but we're going to stand by it, you know, and they didn't. And that would have probably ended the game. Right. Because how long in the game was left at that point? Like 12 minutes?
No, it might have been, I think it was a little longer than that, but I think, so the other thing, the rule that they came out with a few years ago is that if they call a 5-minute major, they're now like allowed to go back and look at the video replay of it. So I wonder if the refs did that intentionally, like if they were on the fence, is it a major, is it not? They'll say, well, call it a major, go back, look at the replay, and then decide to bring it down.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is like the intention of it, right? Like this is something that can very much decide a game. And you want to see the details.
Well, it did change the rest of the game, because it was after that the whistles went away. Like, you didn't have a single other penalty called for the rest of the game. And you know, you could even say that it was throughout that scum. Or, I mean, it was scum that was part of that. But without that scrum,
wasn't on the ice.
That you saw Matthews and O'Rielly taken off the ice for 5 minutes. Stamkos is off and Kucherov are off the ice for 5 minutes. Like, it was a very different game after that.
Yeah.
And then it was up to the Leafs to, you know, tie it up and, you know, bring the game back 3-3. And they didn't have much going for a lot of that. It felt like the whole game, we had a hard time getting it in Tampa's end and getting a cycle going. Yeah. Tampa had an easy time with that. They were cycling all over us the whole game long. We had a hard time with that. And even into the end of the game, we couldn't do it. But Ryan O'Rielly, the trade, the big man, it paid off, and he's cementing himself in Leafs history already.
Just before it wasn't the goal. It was in the second period when he had that really nice chance. I was getting a little frustrated with him because he and a handful of the other guys in the Leafs tonight, like when you say about Tampa being able to cycle so well, I just feel like the Leafs looked slow for
yeah,
a lot 100%. Of the game. So I guess, Tim, when you say that, like, they deserve to lose, I mean, that's a big factor of it, right? That just, like, I don't know. Tampa looked so much faster, and the Leafs just were stuck in the mud, it felt like.
Yeah, not moving. I mean, it looked like the whole overtime. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every single player just had no energy left. Like, we would just dump it out for 19 minutes. And, I mean, like, it reflects on the shot clock. Like, we ended up with, like, 20 shots through three periods, which is not good. Not good. And so it's like, I don't know. We just seem to see a lot of, like, Leafs would like try and dump and chase strategy where they dump it in and try and go get it. But you're right. Like, they were the second people to those pucks and they were losing the puck battles. So,
yeah,
we haven't said his name yet. Ilya Samsonov.
Yeah.
Sammy Sonils.
Star of the game.
Star of the game.
Russian on Russian robbery against Kucherov a handful of times in that overtime. And you could tell he was feeling good and he was in his bag tonight. Yeah, I mean, that's important. But the overtime, absolutely. Like, I don't know that I fully agree the Leafs totally deserve to lose or, like, to lose the game. But overtime, we're lucky to come out of that thing, and it's because of Sammy Smiles. Ilya Samsonov, I don't know, what, 10, like, quality saves? I don't know that the Leafs actually had maybe more than one sustained pressure in Tampa's zone the entire overtime. It was all on Samsonov, and he stole it.
Well, we've been on the other end of that. Like, I know Tim, you're going to groan when I bring it up, but it was that game six in Montreal when we go into overtime and we're just dominating them. We for 10 straight minutes, we're just all over them and we can't beat Carey Price. And then the other team, you know, Montreal, just gets like one chance. They bring it back to the other end and they score and the game's over just like that. It felt like that for this overtime. For 18 minutes, Tampa was all, they were swarming us. We had not, you're right. We're like tired and slow. We had no sustained pressure in Tampa's zone. Samsonov was making 10 bell saves the whole time. And it's the timely saves. Like he comes up with them. He keeps us in it. And then all of a sudden, Justin Hall hits the post. We have a little bit of zip, if zippity zap in their end. And Morgan Rielly ices the thing away. And that's all you need.
Yeah. On the Ryan O'Reilly clean faceoff win, that was clutch too.
Yeah.
I don't even know, though, what to like take away from kind of how slow the Leafs looked during the game and overtime tonight. Because like that's not how they've looked in the series. And it could be just, I don't know, a travel thing. That's maybe. Just something I hope isn't gonna continue, because like I don't know, we're gonna have a tough time. Like I can't expect Ilya Samsonov and Morgan Rielly to have games like this for the rest of their, or, you know, for the rest of the series. Like I don't know, it is funny though, like watching Ryan O'Reilly, who again I was like frustrated with a little bit in the game, because it just felt like he doesn't really get any space. Like it feels like over these defenders, but sometimes it like doesn't matter. It's like he's like, listen, I already know where I'm going, like, and we'll see who's there when I get there, right? Like you can be draped all over me, I'm just gonna carry you to Andrei Vasilevsky's lap and try to score it.
Well, that was it when he scored his game tying goal. It was him and three Tampa guys in front of the net, and somehow he comes up with it. He's so good.
It's just different. It's just like different than like what else we've got. But he, even though I was stressed for a lot of the game, I feel so much better having this three-headed monster at center with Ryan O'Reilly on the third line, because you're just comfortable with more lines out there. Like I'm comfortable when Ryan O'Reilly's line's out there and Tavares and Matthews, that like we've got a chance here to really do something. Nothing against the fourth line, but just like I didn't have that when the third and the fourth lines were, you know, beans.
Well, let's talk about the rest of that third line for a second, because on O'Reilly's wing is Nola Chari, who scored a big goal tonight, and Matthew Nyes, who continues to be fantastic. He was put out on the ice 1 minute into overtime. Honestly, I wasn't sure Matthew Nyes was going to touch the ice in overtime, and he got like the second shift out there. The amount of stock that he's built up with Sheldon Keefe in such a short amount of time. He deserves every bit of ice he has. He's looked great. He's responsible with the puck when he's out there. He's doing the right things. When we looked dead in overtime, he was one of the few players that looks like maybe it's because he's such a young guy. I don't know. He had his legs. He was pushing the play, and that, you're right, that third line is dangerous, and I love it. I don't want to see it go away.
Well, I mean, it's the question of, like, we have one more game without Bunting. And then there's the question about who comes out, right? And I don't think it's going to be Matthew Nyes.
There's no way it's Matthew Nyes.
A doubter.
Tim, you were a doubter. You were a doubter of him on the road. And I don't know that I disagreed, though, because, like, I wouldn't have liked it. But, like, I could have seen a situation where Keefe decided to put somebody else in tonight on the road or whatever. No, Matthew Nyes is it. He's got the sauce. I'm telling everybody about Matthew Nyes. I'm telling people at the grocery store about Matthew Nyes. Leafs got this rookie. What was it? Is this his fifth game? No.
Yeah, it would have been a fifth game.
Fifth NHL game. Give the man a goal, by the way. I mean, like, he had two
good chances.
Yeah, and he creates these chances, like, all by himself. Because, again, you know, Ryan O'Reilly's dancing into the zone with three players draped on him. And he's just like, all right, guys, go do your thing. But yeah, that line was absolute gas. And I love Nola Chari and the fire that he brings too. Like he's mean. He's just so mean and he's tough too. Like he hands these hits out and he takes them and he just keeps going at you. I love looking at him and his bent nose scares the crap out of me. And then you got Ryan O'Reilly, right? No face mask, looking like a serial killer or no visor. And then you got Matthew Nyes looking like, you know, unshaved me, although I'm kind of right now, but just I just like that line. It's ugly and beautiful at the same time.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I was impressed with, like, I noticed him when he was on the ice. I thought Matthews had a really good game. Like, whenever he was out there, like, Matthews, we haven't talked about him yet. Like, got his goal.
Well, that's what I was just said at last pod. You got to get a goal to get the zero off the board. Now you're there. He is so good at these little tip plays in front of it. Do you remember when he didn't have a wrist and he had, yep, literally played like for 10 straight games, unable to shoot, and he just stand in the front of the net and tip pucks in like that? He's so good at it. This play, he just like spins around, whips his stick up, and the puck is in the top corner. Yeah. Completely intentional. He's a natural at it. He's so
getting
good.
Hooked,
totally,
and cross-checked and interfered with, and he spins right around. And yeah, I mean, he had maybe like 3 seconds of the freedom, right, to make that play, and he makes it. And I'm sure, I think it was Radish who was on him, is just so pissed off, right? Because like that 1 second that he wasn't, you know, didn't have his hands on him, it goes in the back of the net. And he was stoked. Like, he was stoked to score that goal. And you love that because, like, you're Austin Matthews and you want, you know, if you're like a fan, and like, I want him. Just like, he chased that feeling, get me some more of those goals.
You want him in it.
Yeah, yeah. And he was in it. I mean, he's, you know, he's scored a handful of like big playoff goals, but like some of the biggest Austin Matthew goals I can think of are those ones that he scored against Boston and against Tampa last year, where he's just like, those are the goals that mean the most to him. He's not acting like cool Austin Matthews there. He's acting like us. He's like us after he scored.
A wild man.
Oh, well, it's gone too.
When we have this depth of stars, you don't need all of them to perform every single night. You just need some of them or most of them too. And in so many playoffs past, we've gone multiple games where just no one shows up. Like in game one, just no one shows up. But last game was like the John Tavares, William Nylander show. This game was you could say that about Mitch Marner as well last game. But like, I didn't think John Tavares had a super great game tonight. I thought he was just fine. I didn't notice him too much. But Austin Matthews picked up the slack, and then that's all you need. Like, that's why we have 6 superstars on this team, because if even only 4 of them are going tonight, that's going to get you 4 goals and you win the hockey game.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the Leafs have scored 3 goals at least against Andrei Vasilevskiy, 3 games in a row. I mean, you sent over his line from the series. So, I mean, he's got to be, he's continues to be under 900 for the series.
852 tonight.
You've got
what Andrei Vasilevskiy,
the best goalie on God's earth here. And the Leafs are bumping him, basically. I mean, like, and on a game like tonight where the Leafs had, what'd you say, Tim? I think they probably ended with like 25 shots. Let me look.
Thereabouts. Yeah.
27 shots, including overtime. Right. Forward in the back of the net. Like, it's just like a night where the Leafs were not in their zone constantly. Like, it was not a rough night saves wise, right, for Andrei Vasilevskiy with a bunch of high danger chances, and the Leafs are getting them past him. And wonder, right? Like 3 games in a row, that's a trend. You're sub 900 in the playoffs. Like, that's worse than Ilya Samsonov is for his career, and the man's been labeled as a playoff non-performer, right? Like, I don't know. Like, is the storyline here? It's a storyline. Can Andrei Vasilevskiy get it done against the Maple Leafs this year? We'll see. Because it's not been a guy they can count on. He hasn't stolen them a game yet. Famous.
No, I mean, like, I wouldn't say any of the goals he's let in have been bad.
Our first goal tonight wasn't great. There's been a few that look un-Vasilevskiy-like.
Definitely un-Vasilevskiy-like.
Hmm.
You can't overstate the fact that we beat him 2 games in a row now. We didn't do that last year. Last year, we traded games until game 7 when they won, which was the first back-to-back win of the series, which was by them. We didn't do it. And now we win game 2 in massive fashion. And Tim, you said it, we don't win these kinds of games. Like, usually we're down by a goal late in the third period. We can't generate any offense, then we lose. Like, that's just been the Leafs for the last 3 years, 5 years, whatever you want to call it. And they come back they don't look great in overtime, but you know what? Who cares? They won. And now we're going back to Tampa again with a 2-1 series lead. The chance to get a real stranglehold on the series, go up 3-1, then 4-1.
Well, in Tampa, and then you go back home, right? And you're playing a team in Tampa that's like, I think they're the second best home team in the league, right? Yeah. They're an excellent home team. But the Leafs have been a great home team, and Ilya Samsonov's been a great home performer, and like, there's stealing one more game in Tampa, assuming the series continues to just go the distance, I don't know, like, is going to be massive. That's going to be massive. And I don't even, I don't know that the Leafs have, when the last time they won three games in the playoffs in a row either. Like, just winning two in the playoffs
Montreal.
Feels like, what was it? Yeah, I was thinking that. We lost one and then won the next three. Stop. You're done. All right. That's the end of Ryan's Montreal talk for the rest of this podcast. Tim, you agree, right?
I apologize.
No more Montreal.
Absolutely. Cut off.
All right, Ryan, that's it. You get two strikes against you. Third one.
I'll mute myself.
We replace you with Luna on the pod. Give me a break. But yeah, I've just felt like winning the two games in a row, especially against this team, is massive. I mean, the Leafs barely ever do it, but like, I don't even know the last time Tampa lost two in a row, right? This team's gone to the Cup final 3 years in a row. Like, they don't do that kind of thing. So I
think, like, looking ahead to next game, obviously, like, every game is the biggest game of the series until the next game, right? So the next game, also huge one to win. We win that, and it's no longer trading games. But what do you guys think the Leafs need to do? I mean, this was a win by the Leafs, but it wasn't a decisive win by any means. But like, what do you think the Leafs need to do next game to keep up the pressure?
I think they need to figure stuff out in their own ends. Like we talked about a little bit, but Tampa just had their way with us. They got it into the corner. They won the puck battle, got it back to the point. Then it was going to be in our end for the next 2.5 minutes. And they just cycle around, get big chances. Samsonov would have to make big saves. I feel like even though I thought that their line was pretty good as on a whole to the game, the O'Reilly, Nyes, and Achari line, that line got hemmed in their end quite a bit, especially in the middle, like second period part of that game. So I don't really know what that is, if it's coaching or they need to run some drills or something, but that to me is the biggest thing that needs to change. We can't rely on Samsonov to be as good as he was again and as he was in this game. We need to clean that up and not spend as much time on our own end defending.
What do you think, Steven?
I think it's rest. I don't know. I mean, it's been three hard games. And the boys, they look tired tonight, you know? And I mean, they played 80 minutes essentially of hockey tonight. They need to get some serious rest and come out fast because Tampa looks fast. They're not like a young team, but they look fast. I was a little bit disappointed, even though like it was fewer penalties this game. And there would have been more if the refs didn't just swallow the whistle. But like the stuff with Lafferty and the cross check to the face, you're kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Between the whistles, I won't have it. I like, we cannot be going on the penalty kill like that. I mean, like, and it's, you're also got to remember you're wearing the maple leaf. Like, you might get suspended for that. It's just like, seriously, I was like literally saying, I was like, he'll get suspended for that.
We just saw it in game two with McCabe with the punch to the face and then got a penalty for it. You have to think that Keith was telling these guys, don't do that. You're just going to burn yourself.
I get it. I get it that they're protecting Samsonov, right? Because the Lightning are doing their thing. They're crowding the net. But there's nothing that says you have to touch the man's face. Put your hand on his gut and push him back. Just push him back. Oh. You're not going to get a penalty for that. And maybe he'll cross check you in the face, but maybe, yeah. But it's just like, it's got to slow down. I think even if the refs were calling like things like they have been the past couple of games, there would have been fewer penalties tonight by the Leafs. So like, that's a step in the right direction. But come on, guys. I don't know. That's the two biggest things for me. Like, if the Leafs look faster tonight, they're blowing them out. So, what's up, Tim? Feed us.
Yeah, I would say. Part of me says I think they need to fix what's going on in the offensive zone as far as like being able to keep that sustained pressure and keep that puck possession. Like, the best defense, a good offense. And that, like, if you have the puck, if you have possession, then you don't have to worry about what Tampa's doing in your own end. But then I kind of go back and say, like, well, you know, we have, you know, shelled Vasilevskiy the past three games. So maybe, like, the offense is fine. But I'm still like, this is Andrei Vasilevskiy. He's not going to be, he's going to return to his superhuman form eventually. I would like to see, I'm not sure if they need a change in strategy of, like, not doing the dump and chase as often, trying to do more controlled zone entries. I don't think the dump and chase has been working great for them. Like, it seems that, I mean, some guys are able to do it and fight off, and, like, Austin Matthews is great as picking out the puck and keep and starting mm-hmm. the cycle and starting, like, to set up that perfect shot and perfect pass. But more often than not, it's like, we're in there, they get the puck, it just comes right back. And it's, I mean, maybe our guys get more tired out from skating back and forth all the time. But
here's the thing about dump and chase, though, Tim. It's the risk adverse option. It's, you get it in deep and you try to get it back. If you don't, worst case scenario, they have it, like, behind their net, and then you have full defense back. If you try and make a play at the blue line and do a stupid drop back pass and then it's picked off, like we see the Leafs try and do all the time, then all of a sudden it's a 3-on-2 going the other way. So, like, I get what you're saying. That, like, you know, we were sitting beside each other and it's frustrating when they keep on doing this dump and chase. Tonight they didn't have it. They were slow and they weren't on the forecheck. They weren't being the first bodies to that puck. But all the same, they didn't give up any odd man rushes trying to make a play at the blue line and making a missed pass. They still shoot the puck into the shin pads every other time, mm-hmm. which is annoying. But it's not the worst thing, the dump and chase, I don't think.
Talking about shooting into the shin pads, one guy we haven't mentioned tonight, Luke Shen. Luke Shen, I have been impressed with, particularly tonight, in that he's great at blocking shots and he just seemed to have, like, a level head. There were a couple plays where I think he got burned. But overall, like, he's out there. He finishes his checks. There's a couple times where I watch Hall, watch his guys skate by him, and it's like, ugh. Mm-hmm. But then, like, Luke Shen finishes his checks. Great, dependable, where he needs to be. I like him.
Even without the overtime winner by Riley, I thought the Shen-Riley pairing was the best one we had tonight. I don't know what the time on ice ended up being, but yeah, McCabe, Brody, not a great night for them. Gio and Hall gotten walked a handful of times, and I don't know. I mean, like, maybe Riley Shen has all the makings of being our top pair, so maybe they just become, you know what I mean? Like, they play themselves into that role. We'll see.
I mean, it's wild what Riley's been able to do this playoffs, because I guess last year he was good in the playoffs as well, but this regular season,
yeah.
He was not great. He took a lot of heat, especially on the Leafs cast, for a lot of his play, brutal defensively, and really wasn't generating a lot offensively, especially in the back half of this season. And he's completely turned it around. He looks like a number one defenseman out there. Like, he looks like, when you tell me he's getting paid $6.7 million or whatever his paycheck is these days, yeah, he deserves it for what he's doing out here. He's taken Luke Shen, who's probably shouldn't be a top pairing defenseman at this point of his career, and making him a legitimate partner here. He's carrying that line. And I don't think Riley could get enough praise. I'd say he's been through three games, he's been our best player. I'd say,
Tim, what GM took Luke Shen with the, what was it, like, fifth overall pick in 2008? Who was it?
Brian Burke.
Was that Burke?
That's Burke's claim to fame. He brings it up all the time.
He brings up Luke Shen.
Yeah, he says, like, oh, we would have picked Luke Shen first overall. We couldn't believe he dropped to fifth.
Is he the same one? Was it still him, though, when he traded Shen for JVR?
That sure. Might have been noticed.
I was thinking that was noticed.
That was right or close to the transition time.
I don't know. I like Luke Shen. No, he had a great night. The D felt so much more active tonight as well. I got one thing to bring up lines-wise. The Leafs didn't change anything. We got one more game till Bunting comes back, but for the next game, a pivotal game 4, do you look to move Yarncroke off the top line? I didn't see anything from Yarncroke tonight in a top line that, I don't know, felt like.
I mean, Matthew Nyes is up there in overtime.
It won, and Nylander took shifts up there. It felt like Keith was, if I mean, obviously, if somebody's going to come off that line, it's Yarncrook. But like after game three or after game two, I think like, oh, yeah, if Bunting comes back. I don't know. He's not playing on the top line, though, and that's for sure. I think he certainly slots right back in there, but I wonder if they look to make that move early. I don't know who you put up there. What do you guys think?
I don't think you'd make a move like that until something stops working. Like if you win game four, you're not making that change. Like no way. If you come out flat in game four and the series is tied 2-2, then maybe you start experimenting. You're right. I actually didn't really think about it, but I didn't, I wouldn't say I really noticed anything Yarncrook was doing either on that line. I know it's Matthews and Marner a lot. And maybe that Yarncrook is just the not noticed piece of that. Maybe he was winning the battles in the corner to let Matthews and Marner do their thing. But I wouldn't say that that line was cooking because of him in that game. But I don't know if he's done anything to warrant taking him off that line at this point, especially because the second and third lines have been so good that I don't necessarily want to mess with those either.
I think if he stays there, he's going to end up with a goal at some point. Like when I think of what he does best, it's like Mitch Marner gathering pressure towards him, and then he just finds Yarncrook who rips it home, right? He's got that kind of finish.
No.
But yeah, I just like...
Well, it's already happened. He has a goal in this series already.
Does he? I can't remember. Well, I guess there's been a lot of goals scored. I don't
well,
know.
It was the game two.
Each one of these games takes 4 days like of like memories. I don't remember anything that happens anymore. It's just this game.
It blurs.
You guys, before we wrap up, you guys want to just hear some stuff from some angry Lightning fans?
I always want to hear stuff from angry Lightning.
Let me get the
fans.
Tunes. I haven't proofed any of these.
Oh,
but
boy.
I thought this would be funny. All right, here we go. So looks like the NHL, a.k.a. Toronto, is running the ref show tonight. That's not that good.
What? How do you... I don't know. That's thinner.
Morgan Rielly owns all of your poverty franchise. Oh, wait. That's a Leafs fan. That's a Leafs fan going rogue in the Tampa Bay comments. The NHL had to spot Toronto a game because they know they can't get out of the first round otherwise. Refs won the game. Give me a break.
The refs checked out of that game.
Cooch looks like a proud dad.
Until they can prove that the refs tonight was like involved in lawsuits with the coach's brother-in-law, it's not at the same level as the Leafs.
Toronto Maple refs suspend Morgan Rielly. Here's another Leafs fan. I'm here for the fall of the Lightning.
We're halfway there.
I don't even know. Unacceptable from Vassie on that third goal. Thank you. More Toronto Maple refs.
I don't know what they have against Vassie for that third goal. Like that was just O'Reilly getting in tight in Tampa, not boxing him out.
Somebody says Corey Perry should have jumped over John Tavares in the Montreal series. Oh, that's another.
You have a dummy account.
That's another Montreal. That tweet came from official Leafs Cast podcast. Oh, that's weird.
Oh boy.
John Cooper was saying today, Corey Perry does nothing by accident.
That's true. He did
confirms
say that.
It. Anyways, we will try and get our voices back in time for game four, scheduled for Monday. No, Monday. Yes, no, Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday, and, Friday, Sunday. Game seven on
enjoy
Sunday.
Enjoy the moment. Enjoy victory. If you just want to put the game on repeat, maybe not the whole game. Just like watch the goals on repeat.
Tell your friends to listen to the Leafs cast. This is a big year. Like, let's all rally together and spread the word. Let's go.
Playoff pods are the biggest of the season. Let's have.
That's right.
Wait, that's the wrong one. Let's have more than seven. It's late. I could be tired too. Go Leafs. Go. Go Leafs. Go. Go Leafs.
I have a chance along with you, but I got no voice.